popping. We're in the DealsNindy.com studios for another Drew and Mike show. Ooh. On a crazy, busy day that will be very exhausting for some. We're starting early because Trudy is doing her OMC gig on the east side. Only to go back west for Killer Cares and Ardelio at the Lodge in Keego Harbor.
Yeah. All the stuff you're doing for the kids.
Yeah. The kids.
But then at the Lodge in Keego Harbor.
Nothing to do with the kids after that.
Unfortunately, at the Lodge, Trudy has partying friends waiting for her.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I got the message this morning. We'll see you there.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
I think that's the part of this day you fear the most.
I think so. Oh, it was her birthday, too, so.
Oh, boy, what a challenge.
May have to be some drinking on her.
It'll be over soon.
I know. You gave me hope last night.
Okay. Woo. Yeah. Wow. Sounds like fun. So, yeah, we will see people. Of course, it'll be tomorrow when most people are hearing this, so we'll be
recovering.
Enjoying our day off. Recovering, yeah.
Is this the message you got, Trudy?
I'm here with this really cute guy, and we both want you to come over and party with us.
That's exactly it. Really cute guy. God.
You and me are the only cool people here. Everybody here is just a bunch of posers and hoes and shitheads.
Not the Lodge, jerk.
Yeah. God, it's packed there every...
It's so
killer
packed.
Christmas. Oh, man.
Yeah, it should be a blowout, although, boy, rough development today.
Oh, yeah.
Finding out that Jessica Starr, Fox 2's meteorologist, committed suicide on Wednesday night. And so I don't know if our Fox 2 friends will be in attendance.
I don't know why they should.
Yeah, unless you just want to get out and not... I mean, I was just texting with Ryan Armani this morning, and he's crestfallen.
Yeah, he sent him
and upset, of course, and knows her well. And I think Amy's good friends with her.
Dina.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dina. Was Dina coming tonight?
Oh, I don't know. I was just watching her this morning.
Yeah, that was... Jesus. I can't imagine a more difficult 3 minutes of TV than they did at 7 o'clock this morning. What a miserable, brutal... inexplicable. I mean, there's nothing you can say that mm-mm. makes it any better. Although they were running clips at the nine on the nine afterwards, yeah. And when I saw the clip of Jessica and they were learning a dance,
yeah, they
and
were,
Ryan
was
the in the
hustle
of,
they were doing or some, I don't know, some line
I,
dance.
I started laughing watching Ryan. I was my eye just went right to Ryan dancing, and it was really funny.
it did break it a little
bit. It did lighten the moment quite a bit.
Well, he has fun doing anything, doesn't he?
Yep. No, that's one of the hardest things about those jobs is that you will get stuck doing some really dumb things and asked to participate, and you can't just go, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Ryan, I think I texted him that he really earned his paycheck that day. And today, by the way. Wow, that's what a terrible day to work at Fox 2. So so sorry to hear about that. Did anybody know Jessica Starr? I've never met her.
I met her once. Did you? A long time ago, yeah. But, I mean, I didn't know her.
I know, and I don't think anybody's going to know what happened here. She's tall, beautiful, blonde, great job.
Personal.
Doing what she wanted to do. Married, 2 little kids.
Yeah.
There's just, I mean, what can possibly explain that other than that she was in a horrible, horrible place? That's the part that really made me feel bad, thinking, how rotten did she feel? I mean, she had to be in the darkest place.
Well,
I'm sure most people are going, what'd she do? Well, how could you do that? But, I mean, if you know anything about depression, you know how down people get.
But when you're in that deep, dark place... And she has to perform every morning?
Yeah.
That's incredible. I mean, that is a performance, because you have to be up and bubbly and the weather.
And never show it. And if anything, you're more adept at doing that, not showing how you internally feel.
A lot of times it's a good distraction, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
From real life.
She'd been out of work for a while, and... I'm not sure exactly what it all is involved in that, but anyway, yeah, I mean, I just don't know. I was looking at videos of her. I was, you know, got stuck in this thing. I'm like, wow, who? Nobody had any idea. None. Zero. Usually, when people are depressed, there's something, and maybe it doesn't sound like it though. I didn't talk to Ryan at any length, but I think they're really scratching their heads.
Yeah. Yeah, it was worse. Weird hearing Kevra talk about it too.
Who?
Derek Kevra sounded like he was really tight with her.
Oh.
In Longstreet.
Oh boy.
Which is a cool last name, by the way. Hey, Longstreet.
Yeah, that was that. If you're watching that at 7 o'clock this morning, it was. I don't know. I can't even think of. I'm trying to think of a TV situation I've watched like that before. I can't think of one. I mean, all these shows lose people.
Yeah.
But.
But at the age of 35?
Right. In that way.
Catastrophically. Yeah.
And yet you have to inform your audience who all know her.
And then do a show.
Yeah. I know. Ugh. And I thought about Mike because we just did that.
Yeah.
But it's just not the same. It's not even close. I mean, you know, in some ways it is because we work with Mike for all that time. But, you know, for somebody who decides to end their life versus what happened, you know, it's it's just, you know, incomparable. So, anyway, moving along.
You know,
for an awkward transition.
I know.
But if you feel like that, or you know somebody who you think feels like that,
are you going to give out the suicide hotline number?
I'm not. But I'm saying, around the holidays, it's a really super depressing time. You should just make sure you're like all over that person to try to keep them going, keeping, you know.
I know everyone thinks about the holidays being this great happy time, but man, is there a lot of bullshit stress.
Oh, I know. I got to tell you, I don't know why. I think I feel worse over the holidays than any time of the year. What is up with that? That's not,
you're not supposed
to be that way.
There's
I don't know. I just do.
Pressure and stress.
I think I start to think about a lot of things too. Just like, and you know, it always bothers me. Like when I was watching the Bush funeral.
Yeah.
It was really a nice event, but you know, and this is making it all about me. But I thought about
Bush.
You know, I was just trying to picture people saying stuff, talking about my father, and thinking, you know, it was weird. I just felt like, you know. Nothing. There's not much you can do to grow a relationship or make one. I don't know. It just seemed like the perfect family, and it just, you know, we know it isn't, but
right.
It just seems that way. And I think the holidays, you see a lot of, you know, you watch all these movies, and and it's like, oh, everybody's having so much fun. I'm not having that much fucking fun.
That's what it's supposed to be like.
Not that goddamn much fun.
We're all supposed to be sitting in front of the fire and listening to, you know, Christmas songs and having a great time and.
And listen to our favorite Christmas songs.
Stroke of my, lick of my, suck of my cock. It's the first time for you. So here's what you do.
Second day in a row, I had to yell while in the shower again at the radio for playing a Christmas song.
Don't go ripping.
I won't say what show it was, but they
played. What song?
Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer.
Oh, no.
Really? That played on the radio?
And followed it up with an interview with the guy that wrote the song.
What? So how loaded
is that alive?
Guy?
Well, I think it fit their demo. It just, I was, you know, captive in the shower and couldn't change it.
Old people that write annoying songs?
He was a very good interview.
Sounds lovely.
Yep. Okay.
Oh, I see.
Right.
Huh? What? What's going on? But it just sucks because I got in the shower with Van Halen was on. So it was like, cool. And then it transitioned to that. No!
That song. I can't hold back. That song.
I got run over by a reindeer.
Ass.
Terrible.
So bad.
So I assume the guy's a bazillionaire for that one stupid song, right?
That didn't come up in the interview.
It didn't? No. That's the only thing I would have wanted to know. Did you at least cash in on this piece of shit?
Well, he's friends with one of the hosts, so.
Oh, okay.
Maybe it was gauche to ask that.
I see. Well, yeah, it is gauche, but it's what everybody. Don't you think most people would want to?
Yeah.
Did you cash in on that tune? Because I hear it every goddamn year.
Yeah.
Oh.
Walking home from our house Christmas Eve.
Eve.
You can say
he claimed
no
it was somewhat biographical of his own grandma, which I don't believe.
That's kind of dark.
She was hit by She was hit by a reindeer?
It's more about
drunk driver.
Grandma being a little drunk and dementia kicking in.
Oh, for, oh my God. Well, that is... No. Yeah, you're...
How hammered she is.
The lyrics do sort of go to a bad place.
Nice getting a big laugh out of Grandma's Alzheimer's.
And sorry for anybody that's captive and can't fast forward past the song.
Well, I hope he made some cash.
Sounds like you want this song banned.
I do.
That's pretty
elder
insensitive.
Abuse.
Do people, is this in the Christmas rotation still? Do everybody play this? Maybe they do.
I don't know.
But speaking of money, it's December, which means all the good boys and girls get a visit from Santa himself and Zot Ford and Jolly Holly celebrating their Built for the Holiday sales event. During Zot Ford's Built for the Holiday sales event, you pay what they pay. In other words, you don't have to be an employee to get employee discounts on select vehicles. Huh. Lease an 18 Ford Escape as low as $123 a month. Of course, Mazda's commission is completely waived here, too, as always. No plan, no problem. Or lease a new 18 Ford F-150 Super Cab 4x4 as low as $144 a month. By the way, somebody emailed in and said, Maz needs to stop waiving his commissions.
I've told him a million times, but he likes a good deal.
Don't delay, because once St. Nick finishes his holiday gift giving, Zot Ford's Built for the Holiday sales event will be finished too. Oh, and while you're there, don't forget to give Maz a big wet. I don't think that should be in the coffee.
Huh?
I'm not sure that's helping sales. Under Zot Ford's Merry Mistletoe. Alrighty.
Grandma got molested at the airport.
Oh.
Flying home to our house Christmas Day.
What?
They groped her breast and manhandled her hoo ha. They ought to be arrested, TSA. Her metal hip set the alarm off.
Oh my God, how stupid.
Hey, Drew.
Yes.
We're calling Gary.
Gary.
We're calling Gary. I'm just trying to figure out.
It's big news today.
Dr. Roche has a. They have a new special this week.
Oh.
Why?
I saw that somewhere.
Where's my email? Damn it. Why didn't I just forward this to somebody?
I think it was BBL.
Wait!
Is it BBL?
Print it out.
Fall in Love is Your Song Again.
Except I don't know where it is.
Weekly special, December 12th, 18th.
Yeah, that's it. What is it? Do the spot. Here it is.
BBL.
Yeah, Fall in Love with Your Skin Again. Purchase 3 BBL treatments and get 3 photo relevation treatments free.
Oh, yeah. So their pictures of it removes a lot of redness.
Yeah, I'm looking at the photos here.
Freckling or age spots.
Look at that chick.
Yeah, I know.
She's got these brutal spots on her cheek. Gone!
Nice.
Wow.
Well done.
3 BBL treatments for $1,000. That's a great deal. And receive 3 photo relevation treatments free. Each additional area only $100.
It's gone.
That's what I did when I didn't want those age spots on my hands.
Yeah.
That would be an additional area.
Yeah, you know what? That is a pretty good asset to that whole system there, is it helps your hands rejuvenate as well.
I know I got teased a lot for it, but I was told that it wasn't that weird. For some reason, I don't know, there's people who are completely flipped out by any hair anywhere. There's people that get hair removed from their hands.
Good.
Really?
Gross.
I don't know. It never seemed that big a deal to me, but to some people it is.
I hate hair, and I'm covered in it. It's the worst.
I know. It's a pain in the ass.
Gross.
My ears are getting hairier. I have to trim them every 3 days, it seems like. God.
Disgusting.
Gross. Sucks.
Animal.
Anyway, they'll do all kinds of things for you. And then with the holidays, gift certificates. Or maybe you want a surgery and you've got some time to recover. You might want to call now, 248-338-1110. Reserve your space for boobs. Holiday
baby,
boobs.
Don't tits.
Holiday lipo. Holiday Brazilian butt lift. Holiday whatever. But they do have the 3 BBLs for $1,000. That's a smoking deal.
And the BBL thing you can do on a lunch break and go back to work.
So. Absolutely. No, I think you do. I think you have to wait about 5 weeks between treatments. But after 3 of them, you'll notice a difference.
Yeah.
You will. So, yeah, Gary Graff and our friends
Gary
in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which was announced this morning. Yep, Def Leppard. I should have known Def Leppard would get in. I don't know why. I wasn't so sure. And
there's a picture of Joe Elliott. He looks like he's transitioning.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, that reminds me. Did you see the picture of Axl Rose and Mickey Rourke that's going around?
Oh. I don't know if I could take that much.
They look great.
Wow.
Those ladies look wonderful.
That is really strange. Maybe that should be the picture for the show today. That is an incredible picture. They look like it's labeled aunts by some, as in your aunts.
Should be grandmas.
Grandmas too.
What has nine arms and sucks?
Give up.
Jeff Leppard.
Uh-huh.
You never heard that joke? I said it jokingly because I thought everybody had heard that before the show. And Brandon and Trudy had never heard that joke.
I don't recall it. I feel like I should have heard it.
Well, you guys can all use it now.
Yeah.
That's an old, old joke. Well, this is another album I really liked when I was a kid.
Which is which in this picture?
Oh, Axel's on the right, I believe. Oh
yeah, Mickey Rourke's on the left.
God.
Yeah, let me take another look at that, Trudy.
Is this the one?
Yeah, that's the one.
Oh.
Yeah, so, it looks like two old women.
So that's Mickey Rourke?
That's Mickey Rourke.
Whoa.
Axel looks more female than Mickey Rourke, if that's possible.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a weird picture.
Wow, he looks hideous.
Hello.
Hey, Gary.
Hey, how are you?
Doing fine. We were just looking at the picture of Axl Rose and Mickey Rourke that's going around online.
Isn't that
something? Wow. Have you talked to Axl lately in person, perchance?
I have not, no. But,
you have not? Okay.
You know, he's not a guy who talks to a lot of reporters, as you might have heard.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, have but you're Gary.
Have you? Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It should work that way, but, you know, not with everybody.
When is the last time have you talked to Axl on the phone in person ever?
Once in person, way back when, and then we did one of those crazy email interview things where, you know, it was heavily, it was when Chinese Democracy was released, and, you know, it was very heavily, shall we say, curated by those around him. So that wasn't exactly a satisfying experience.
How about the in-person? That sounds interesting.
It was right at the beginning. It was right around the time of Appetite. And so in a lot of ways, it was just another rock star interview.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You know, he was this new singer in this band that was starting to make some noise. And, you know, not particularly great, not really loquacious or anything. Slash was, and in some ways still is, the better interview in there.
Absolutely.
Slash is great.
And Duff is the smartest guy in the band.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Duff's very much out there. And if you get a chance to talk to him or see someone else talking to him, it's usually very good.
Steven Adler, too, has given a couple of really funny interviews.
Steven's a character.
Yeah.
There's just parts of the memory chip that are missing there.
By the way, did you see Appetite for Destruction being what it became?
You know, you knew it was something. I remember when it came out feeling like this is something really different from, it certainly wasn't like the hair metal thing that we were used to hearing, even though those guys kind of looked like it. Mm-hmm. But it had a different kind of edge to it. It was a little more punk, a little more metal, a little grittier, you know, did I think it would become this multi-platinum smash, you know, not on your life. I mean, nobody did, and, you know, from the record company even to Guns N' Roses themselves.
And it still sounds like such a great album.
It's a great, it's up there. It's certainly in the pantheon.
It's got great hooks, it's got great melodies, but it rocks.
So. Yeah, oh yeah, great songs, great performances. And unlike, like, you think about things like the first Aerosmith album or some of those Kiss records, which are classics in their own right, these guys did have hired guns come in to play all those great guitar solos. That was really them on the album.
So a lot of that was still going on when Guns N' Roses came up, a lot of the hired guns business?
A lot of it's still going on.
Really? Well, yeah, it would make a lot of sense.
Yeah, no, a lot of it still goes on. It's been a common practice, but, you know, just obviously very, very much, you know, very quiet.
The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame was announced today, and there were some things I was very happy about and a few I was very unhappy about. So I'll just let you, what's the storyline?
The storyline on this, there are a couple different storylines. You know, first of all, it's a very Anglophile, British-centric class. You know, you have The Cure, Def Leppard, Radiohead, Roxy Music, and the Zombies. Huh. I mean, that's five of seven.
Yeah.
You know,
that's a storyline I didn't notice when I saw the
Me neither.
Yeah, no, that's why you're the reporter.
And a multi-generational, you know, one at that. So, you know, so that's definitely one of the storylines. The storyline that's always prevalent when the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees are announced is who's not there, who got left out. I think the big one this year that surprised people was Todd Rundgren. I think it was his first year on the ballot. Everybody thought he was way overdue for a nomination, much less induction, and he was number three in the fan vote, the public vote, but did not get in.
What? I would think he would get the artist, journalist, whatever that vote.
Right.
That's you have a vote, correct?
I do.
And you voted for Todd, I bet.
I did vote for Todd.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to figure out, that's the group that I would figure would vote for Todd. Well, I would think the fan vote would maybe hurt him.
Well, here's this. Well, I think, you know, obviously the fan vote didn't. Here's been my take on the Rock Hall for the last couple of years, or actually for more than a couple of years. But I wonder if my ballot is actually counted. And by that I mean, especially since it's been on TV and especially since HBO's been involved, I really don't wonder if this is a decision that's made in a production room somewhere about what's going to make the best TV show.
Yes, I agree. I think so.
You know, and maybe, you know, maybe the ballots are an advisory.
but
not necessarily the final word. I can't say that for a fact, but it's just something I wonder.
Who would your other ballot casters be? Do you know?
You know, there are other journalists, artists, you know, musicians, anybody who's inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame gets a vote. There are people in the music industry, you know, who are considered more musicologist types than others. So, you know, the average stiff in a record company might not get a ballot, but somebody who's working, you know, who's like a 30, 40 year veteran of the industry, you know, may well get a ballot. And you know, also people who are in the catalog divisions of these record companies. You know, Universal Music has an active one, Warner's has an active one, Sony Legacy is big. So it's professional people, you know, who are day in, day out dealing with music.
Do your contemporaries share the conspiracy theory that you do? I mean, their votes aren't...
Some, when I say that, some of them nod in agreement. Some think it's still down to Jan Wenner picking everybody. Yeah. I don't think that's the case.
It's this vast, you know, right-wing conspiracy.
Jan's case, it wouldn't be right-wing.
Streaming services, do they get a vote? Does, like, somebody from Spotify get a vote?
I don't doubt that some of their executives, you know, again, who have been in the music industry, you know, are voters as well.
Mm. I'm calling for more transparency.
There's 900 some of us, so, you know, it's gonna cut a pretty wide path.
That's too many.
So if this vote is fake, what do they claim that it is? How much does the fan vote, how much is it supposed to count?
The fan vote counts as one ballot. So the top five, we vote for, we get the list of the 15. And then, you know, we choose five, and then the top five fan votes become one additional ballot in the mix.
So
all these fans, however many million of them voted, have the same weight as I do.
Jeez.
Oh,
when it comes to the actual vote.
How silly. I will say
this about the fan vote is it certainly has guided the decision. You know, you had Bon Jovi last year, you know, on top, and he got inducted, and for the life of me, I'm blanking on who it was the year before, but they got in. And so, you know, the top couple, at least, you know, seem to always get in. So that has, it does have some relevance.
I don't get how you come in third in the fan vote and somehow not one of the seven that makes it in.
Well, especially like a Todd Rundgren. I mean, if this had been like Janet Jackson, who has no place in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
None.
But if she had finished number three and didn't make it in, I think we'd understand that. You know, we'd understand that the other 900 odd voters did not vote for her. But when you look at a guy like Rundgren, you know, huge credibility, great history, you know, you just can't understand why he wouldn't have gotten in.
Yeah, he has more of that insider critic appeal. I would think people in the business love him. And I would feel the same way about Devo, too.
Devo was on my ballot. You know, they were one of my five. And
they
I felt
see yours and throw it right out.
Yeah, because I'm sure the MC5 was on your ballot.
My five. I hit on two of my five. I voted for Def Leppard and the Zombies, you know, who are getting in. Mm-hmm. And then I also voted for the MC5, Todd, and Devo. Huh.
I'm a little surprised the Zombies made it. I think they deserve it, of course, but that's a band. I would think it would be harder for them almost than Todd and Devo because they go back further.
They've been on the ballot for a long time, so I think, you know, you just hit critical mass here where, okay, it's time. You know, this is your fourth time on the ballot. Let's get you in finally.
And did you talk to him today, right?
I just talked to Colin Blunstone, the singer, today. He's over the moon.
Yeah.
And, you know, as was I talked with Joe Elliott right after from Def Leppard. Interestingly, Def Leppard is in, they're doing a British tour. They're in Sheffield tonight, which is their hometown.
Oh, wow.
So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, he's going to get off.
But of course, he was drinking a smoothie. I was like, shouldn't you be like chugging champagne?
or anything with alcohol.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, something. But I guess he said they'll save that for March. Something tells me they won't.
That's cool.
But they're very happy. Listen, anybody who gets in, even though you know, like, Radiohead and The Cure are going to have frowns on their faces.
Yeah. Well,
you know, come May, they're going to be inside. They're going to be doing the little happy dance.
Please tell me they'll be there, Radiohead.
Oh, I don't think we're going to see a great deal of drama this year. Certainly you won't with the Zombies. You won't with Def Leppard. The Cure could be an issue because there were acrimonious relationships in that band, and there could be issues about who actually attends and whether they all play together. Radiohead's been the same five guys forever. Roxy Music, you know, is really just three guys, and they like each other. You know, it depends how many of different personalities of Janet and Stevie show up and how they get along on that particular night.
Ooh, could there be a cat fight between Janet and Stevie?
I don't think there will be a cat fight. And Stevie, I got to tell you, I think Stevie getting in as a solo artist is superfluous, really. She's in with Fleetwood Mac. You know, use that spot for somebody else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Janet Jackson is one too many Jacksons, I think.
It's
you know,
rock.
you could make the case for the Jackson 5.
Yeah.
You could make some case for Michael Jackson, but Janet never existed in the rock and roll world ever.
Except for Black Cat.
Yeah, but even that, you know, no rock station played that.
What?
Whereas,
listen to it, it rocks. They should make her play this now. Fair.
I think I almost like the idea of the Jackson 5 getting in. I love those songs.
Well, and that was the Jackson 5, you know, they come from a time when the pop rock divide wasn't as solid as it is now.
Yeah.
So what is it going to take to get the MC5 in? Is there any hope for those guys?
I so thought this was the year, you know, with Wayne's book and
exactly.
with the MC50 thing being on the road and getting so much attention. So I got to say, after this year, I've kind of run out of hope. What I think will happen to them is that this year's ceremony, in April, they introduced this new thing they're doing where they're inducting songs, individual songs, from bands that haven't been inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Mm. So Steppenwolf's Born to Be Wild got in, and one of the Duane Eddy songs was inducted, and Procol Harum, Lighter Shade of Pale. Now, they say this won't preclude those bands ever getting into the Rock Hall. I think we know better. So what I'm concerned might happen with the MC5 is they'll induct Kick Out the Jams, the song. Ugh. And that'll be it.
Don't take that, Bone.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
No thanks.
They were going to do one.
Well, what was funny was that it barely registered, but they did that this year, and none of the inductees were even told or at the ceremony.
Nice.
They just kind of sprung this.
Oh, boy.
And so I have a weird feeling that that's what's going to happen to the MC5.
You know, is anybody happy with the way the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is going? It seems like it's just a TV event. The fan vote is just to drum up publicity for the TV event. It just feels like, I mean, rock and roll isn't...
They give us enough, though, to enjoy it, I think.
Oh, I love the event.
Well, to enjoy it, and also, we all like to complain.
Yes, we do.
Speak for
yourself.
And
this gives us an abundance to complain about. What we are happy about, I will tell you, is the evolution of the museum in Cleveland. That started rough and now is a really great facility. Not only the exhibits and everything, but the programming they do there and the educational programming. And they're really hitting on all cylinders down there.
Really? And, but you have to go to Cleveland.
You do have to go to Cleveland.
That's a day trip, Trudy.
I haven't been in about 10 years, so I guess I need to go back.
They've raised the bar. They've really turned it into a great place to go and celebrate your love of rock and roll.
I did enjoy go. I enjoyed it when I did go. Have you guys been?
Oh, it's been years, but yeah, I loved it. Yeah.
What did you like it, Trudy?
No, I liked it. I liked all the geeky stuff there. The Jim Morrison letter from the principal and
his Cub Scout
Jimi
shirt,
Hendrix outfits, and Art Penhallow is in it.
Hey,
yes, I found Art.
Yep.
Yeah, he's in that little man. I think that's still there. I think they might have either moved or removed the radio exhibit.
What?
Because I remember I was looking around for it when I was there for the ceremony in April, and I don't remember seeing it. But you know, it's a crowded night and stuff. So you know, yeah. I could have missed it.
Is it being replaced with a streaming display?
Well, they do have
the latest podcast
display,
something like that.
That's got to happen soon.
It probably will. I mean, they stand pretty on top of everything, and they keep it changing. Which I think for a museum, it's, you know, especially a museum about rock and roll, it's got to morph and change quite a bit.
Gary, I saw a story that Nick Mason is saying, hey, enough's enough, we should stop fighting. And that sounds to me like he's thinking we should tour. Can't we get those two together, David and Roger?
It means Nick Mason is thinking Pink Floyd should tour. It does not mean David Gilmour and Roger Waters.
He's the wrong one to be thinking it.
It's nice of him to think it, because I've been thinking it too.
Oh, listen, you can rest assured they get offers all the time. Yeah. To come out and do big lucrative tours.
His thought process in Salon.com was that Roger thought he would split from the band in this, you know, walk out in fury, and then everything else would fold, and he didn't count on them under David Gilmour. Yeah, keeping it going.
Right, exactly. No, that was the whole crux of it. Roger thought it was his band and his band alone, and he was mistaken.
Wrong. Yeah.
What is
it? And now he can't get over it.
So now, you know, Nick's doing is, it's pretty interesting. You know, he's going out with his own band playing the pre-Dark Side of the Moon Pink Floyd. You know, so the real psychedelic stuff.
Oh.
And they're coming here. They're coming here in, I think it's March or April.
Where are they playing?
I want to say...
Fillmore?
The Fillmore.
Okay. Oh, that sounds cool.
90%. Oh, yeah, it sounds really, really cool.
I would imagine that the three of them, if Roger and David Gilmour could possibly be coaxed, that would be pretty damn big. Is there anything else that would be bigger in terms of reunions? Now, we talked about Talking Heads and a couple others, but what else is out there that could be just gigantic?
In terms of size, you know, Steve Perry with Journey, of course.
Yeah.
We'll see if what's going on with AC/DC, if they really are getting the band back together, you know, what kind of legs that might have.
Wait, you know, just Angus or?
No, it would be, no, I mean, they've been doing some recording in Vancouver with Brian Johnson and with Cliff Rudd back on drums.
Right.
Now the bass player retired, you know, Cliff Williams retired. He's been with him forever, but would he come out of retirement if it was going to be the full band and a big payday? You know, who really knows? You know, I don't know if Paul and Ringo toured together. I think that would be a big deal.
Yeah,
why can't they do that?
You know, they just don't want to. I don't think Ringo wants to play. He likes this nice little all-star band thing he's got going.
It's a nice thing.
I don't think he wants the pressure of being a stadium act.
Yeah. It would always get overblown, no matter what. The Beatles Nation will get too excited.
Oh yeah, yeah. It'd be fun to see, you know, or if Ringo would even trot along on a Paul tour.
Huh. Yeah,
that'd be you know, what would be huge if it happened is if NSYNC got back together. That would be a stadium show.
Hey, is Justin's concert tour not selling well?
No, it is selling well. He's just had vocal issues.
Oh, okay.
Throat issues. That's why he basically postponed the rest of the year. But, you know, as you see with an announcement at Little Caesars, he's rescheduled those dates and added a bunch of other dates.
Every time we talk about groups getting back together, we think of Rage Against the Machine, too. And I saw Morello's coming to town.
He came.
He did.
He was just here over the weekend.
What was that show?
That was a kind of up close and personal with Tom Morello type of show. He spoke. He demonstrated. You know, he did play music, but it was more of a, you know, one-on-one storyteller's kind of experience. He's coming back next year to do more, to do a band show.
He's an interesting guy.
Oh yeah, he's bright. Talk about bright. I mean, you know, Harvard educated. You know, and interned in Washington D.C. and plays brilliant kick-ass guitar.
Wait, he's coming back with who then? Himself?
Well, his own band. He's also going to be touring with Prophets of Rage, which is the kind of all-star Rage Against the Machine surrogate.
And there's also the Audioslave quasi-reunion for the Cornell tribute.
You're right. They're going to get together and play with who's ever going to sing.
Yeah. Who's that going to be?
That night. They really haven't said yet, and there's all sorts of names and a lot of obvious you know, names being bandied about. You know, maybe Anthony Kiedis, Corey Taylor.
I think Audioslave is very underrated. What's your opinion?
No, they were a really good band. They did both of those albums were really strong. The studio albums were really strong. I did like it better when they came around the second time and they played Rage songs and they played Soundgarden songs.
Yeah.
You know, it was, you know, they didn't run from their history like they did the first time.
That's kind of what Velvet Revolver did, too.
Right, yeah. They came back and they were a little more open to playing their history. So it was also, you know, a lot of these all-star bands just fall flat on their face, but those were a couple that actually did some interesting music.
Yeah.
Lead singers, though, are really in demand because I heard Linkin Park contemplating another incarnation.
The bass player, you know, the bass player came out talking about that, whereas Mike Shinoda has been very circumspect about what's going to happen with Linkin Park. You know, the bass player came out and said, we're looking at doing stuff and still figuring out. I don't think you could bring just one guy into that band, you know, replace Chester and go out and be Linkin Park again. I don't know that their fan base will really accept that. They're going to need to do something creative. And, you know, maybe it's two singers. Maybe it's, you know, kind of, they've reinvented their sound a couple of times. Maybe it's something very different that just the five of them can do.
Well, don't they have Mike Shinoda singing as well as whoever?
Mike's not a great singer. He's a really good rapper, but he's not a voice like Chester was. So I think they've just got to find a creative way to justify going out under that name again. And it's not going to be easy.
Gary Graff at Graff on Music on Twitter and the Oakland Press, of course. And where else? You're probably writing stuff for Billboard and who knows what.
Stuff on Billboard. Gary Graff on Music on Facebook has a lot of the stuff.
You can read his review of the Michelle Obama show.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We were sitting right next to each other.
Was that a pure sellout, Gary?
No, it was not.
Oh, okay.
There were more people than you see at almost any Red Wings or Pistons game or most of the concerts. But it was not as much as they claimed that it was a sellout. It wasn't a clean sellout.
Interesting.
She did better than the Clintons, though. Apparently.
Oh yeah.
Well, she's doing. They're playing the Fox.
Yeah.
So, but this is a model. You're going to see personalities now, whether they have books or not. You're going to see them come playing arena and theater, quote unquote, shows.
Wow.
Well, any way to get some money out of our pockets.
You got it.
And Michelle, if anybody can do it, Michelle Obama. I don't know how many others can really pull that off. But Gary, thank you so much.
All right, you guys have a great weekend.
We'll be watching. Thanks.
Gary.
Bye. See you.
Bye. Bye. We're segueing right into Eli's theme song then?
Momentarily, we will. Eli's always early. It's a good quality.
He has to freaks calm the dogs down.
I know, it's quite a job.
Why do those dogs hate Eli
Layla,
so much?
Layla, Mags, calm down. It's okay.
Those anti-Semitic dogs.
Join us in celebrating the holidays with Zot Chrysler Jeep and Zot Dodge Ram's Big like Finish Gary. Event as we bring this wonderful year together to a close. This wonderful year together to a close. As we bring this wonderful year together.
I'm sorry I rattled you so much.
Gatorade.
Wait!
Gatorade.
Wait! In you?
I'm not sure about this.
Wait!
Is it in you?
As we bring this wonderful year together to a close, our friends at Zot Chrysler Jeep and Dodge.
Gatorade.
Okay. And Zot Dodge Ram want to pass on the most significant savings of the year onto you, our loyal listeners. During the Big Finish event, lease the truck of your dreams, the all-new 19 Ram Bighorn Super Crew 4x4, completely loaded at just $169 a month. Or if Jeeps are more your flavor, you can lease a new 19 Jeep Cherokee Limited at $149 a month. Finally, for the first time ever, Zot Chrysler Jeep will drop an additional $1,000 off the very best deal you can find in a brand new 18 Jeep Wrangler. Nobody discounts Jeep Wranglers, but during Zot Chrysler Jeep's Big Finish, they do. See details in their massive inventory at dealsinthed.com. And David Hall, do we have the Hall Financial Hotline open for that interview?
Oh, boy.
Well,
he fell silent.
How did that call get through?
It's the power of Graphon Music.
I guess so. Yeah, I guess Gary's got a secret hotline. That's really weird.
Well, something's going on with his phone. So.
It's crazy.
It's true.
Hall clients are happy clients. If you're looking to buy a new home or refinance your current home, you need to call David Hall and Hall Financial, and now is the perfect time. Every time is the perfect time. Are you kidding me? To take advantage of the equity in your home, to pay off debt or bills, or help fund the holidays. Don't feel strapped for cash this season. This team is fast, easy, and amazing to work with, truly dedicated to their clients. Don't take it from us, though. Check out their reviews. They're just amazing. 500 five-star reviews for Hall Financial. Go to DrewMikePodcast.com. Click on the Hall Financial button to get the special Hall Pass. It's just for our listeners. Or call Hall Financial today to find out the details and receive unparalleled five-star service on your next home loan. 248-308-5000. Tell them Drew and Mike sent you. NMLS number 1467435. And Eli is coming. There's a cover of Eli's Coming, someone suggested.
Oh, really?
Is it Elric? Who else does Eli's Coming?
It's not a cover. It's the original.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, Three Dog Night covered this version by Laura Nyro.
Yeah, I told you that.
I know.
I told you that months
it's
ago.
It's your moment to thanks for listening to the podcast, Marv.
That's right.
Hey, I know. I remember him
saying
that.
Nobody listens to me.
Who said that?
Laura Nyro? Was this
your
a
wives
hit?
Said that. Nobody, you never listen to me.
Not as good.
It's in a different context.
Yes, it is. Does change the song. I gotta go with Three Dog Night on this one.
Yeah. Even though it's men talking about Eli as a man.
They're blown away by Eli, though.
Yeah. A little more impressive when a woman is begging for you to come.
That's true. That's pretty cool.
Of course,
the guys are so blown away by Eli and the way he breaks hearts, they're warning the chicks.
Wow. But that works for them because then they get his
That's
leftovers.
You're right. Good point. See, the song has so many levels when you change the singer. So what's going on, Eli? Well, what is going on in your no-filter world?
Oh, man, I had a couple planned for you today, and I don't really know where to start, but... I guess I'm really well. I was bothered by the Hall of Fame earlier in the week, but that's a whole other thing. And the
oh, what a joke!
Bullshit nature of that.
And oh, let's argue about that.
I was going to rave into the Michigan Sports Hall of Fame, but
oh, the Michigan Sports Hall of Fame or the Baseball Hall of Fame?
No, it started with the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Earl Baines.
Let's tear down every Hall of Fame today.
Yes.
I also want to thank the member of the Hall of Fame.
The member, all one of them.
Well, you know, halls of fame. Are, of course, loosely based on performance, but more so they're based on who you like and who you favor and who you are fans of and all of that. And so when Harold Baines, whose response, by the way, when you heard he was in the Hall of Fame, he said, what? What? You kidding? Like you kidding?
He's always been a very humble guy, though.
Good player, but not a great player.
He's a very good hitter.
Very, very good. Very good is not Hall of Fame.
Very good for 22 years. Good.
But so was
1628 RBI.
So was
34th all time.
Can I just tell you my problem with it? How is he in before Edgar Martinez?
Exactly. Whose WAR was 68 compared to 38 for him.
The DH. That's always been the argument against Edgar. He was just a DH. Well, that's kind of what Baines was.
Baines came up as an outfielder.
Can I please tell you why he's in? Can I tell you why he's in? Because this today's game committee consisted of his former owner, Jerry Reinsdorf, who liked him, his former manager, Tony La Russa, who really liked him, his former teammate, Robbie Alomar, who really liked him.
Oh, come on.
Pat Gillick, his general manager, that really liked him. And he was well-liked. Classy, not a juicer, good guy, and all that. It's kind of like, why is he in?
It's tainted.
He's a good player, and he's a friend of mine. Okay. Let me ask you a question.
Now everyone knows that.
Wait. 2,866 hits, 1,628 RBIs, 384 bombs.
You know what you're doing? You're playing devil's advocate because you don't really believe that. You're saying it to make an argument here.
White Sox fan.
Is he a Hall of Famer, though?
He's borderline.
More so than
I think he's borderline.
More so than Lou Whitaker?
Lose a second baseman. It's sort of a different.
Not as well liked, not as well known.
Harold's stats, his offensive stats.
You're right. They're great.
Rail on Lou Whitaker. 1,628 RBIs. He's 34th all time in RBIs. That's pretty high.
He's also a DH.
Yeah, you two should get a room, you know?
Well, he was injured. He was an outfielder when he came up.
It's just the way halls work. And, I'm not going to even point to him as a specific
I just don't want to be mad at Harold Baines.
Be mad at Harold Baines.
I'll be mad at his friends for letting him in.
That's right.
That really tainted. Exactly.
It's not his fault. He didn't elect himself.
I don't know if he doesn't deserve it. Maybe a couple of deserve it more.
Then I'll give you one here, okay? Now, this year in the Michigan Sports Hall of Fame, a very nice man, a very fine high school sports writer, Mick McCabe, was put into the Michigan Sports Hall of Fame, okay? He covered high school sports for 30 years and did it very, very well. Is Al Ackerman a Hall of Famer who changed the way sports was reported in Detroit, who took no prisoners, who was an icon for decades and decades on Channel 7 and Channel 4, worked in Grand Rapids? No, because he rattled some cages. He pissed some people off. He wasn't a good old boy. He said what he thought. He said what he thought about Russ Thomas and Jim Campbell and all those others. And the good old boys in the Hall of Fame wouldn't vote him in.
People are still holding on to that, really, after all this time?
With Al? Okay, how about another example, okay?
No, I'm just surprised.
I'm going to give you another example. Okay, so like I said, Mick, very deserving, 32 years, wrote for the Free Press and did a very, very nice job. So here's somebody else that you might have considered. He was on TV, which also gets a much less credit, as in the Ackerman case, and radio, too, as somebody who was a sports writer. I'll give you an example. He worked at six different radio stations, one of them three times. Worked at Channel 4, Channel 2, Fox Sports Detroit.
Who's that dude?
First nationally syndicated FM sportscast out of Detroit. First half-hour pregame show in America.
Guy can't hold a job.
Created feature shows like Eli and Denny in the locker room.
Oh, that guy.
And I didn't kiss ass, and I'm not in the fucking Hall of Fame. And it's very simple, and I get it. It's okay. But, I think people who followed media for the last 40 years have put me on a par with Mick McCabe. Maybe. Although I didn't cover Mumford High or
that's all you care about.
I think your name is better known than Mick McCabe.
Is Bernie in the Hall of Fame?
No. No, in fact, when Dave, were you here for the late Dave Dials? Maybe not.
No,
maybe
I missed Dave Dials and Al Ackerman, but I heard their name enough to know they must have been.
I remember Ackerman because from when I was a kid.
I know people.
Dials. Dials was an icon. He was also on ABC National Sportscaster, Channel 7 for 20, wrote 20 books, and finally in 06, he's dying of cancer. And they're going to induct him into the Michigan Sports Hall of Fame, and he calls me and says, should I join that fucking group or not? They ignored me for 20 years. I go, Dave, do whatever you want to do, but, I would accept the honor is what I told him to do. And actually, he came and did it, not that I dictated his final move. But this is just, so that's my angst about Halls of Fame.
What is this love for sports writers, by the way? It seems like they always
great point. I'm going to tell you a little story. 1983, I've been on the air like 2 years. And Channel 4 was doing really, really well, and TV was coming into its own. The Tigers were doing really well, and Channel 4 had the games. And I walked into Tiger Stadium with Joe Falls, the legendary, iconic sports writer Joe Falls, and he was still in his prime. This is 1983, and I'm just a 33-year-old kind of newcomer. So only about a couple thousand people in the stands. We're walking down the third baseline because we're coming through the Cochran entrance there. And people in the stands go, "Hey, Eli, how you doing?" This and that. I'm humiliated and embarrassed because walking next to me is Joe Falls, the icon, and nobody knew who he was. So there was a resentment for TV people as TV was starting to become, you know, kind of a place to go to for sports. We had highlights now, we had videotape, and it was just the newspapers were already starting their decline. So there was, and also you couldn't get in the press box at Tiger Stadium unless the Baseball Writers Association of America approved you. Ooh. And so it was all done by writers. They ruled the roost. There's a lot of resentment, and I think it still exists. So, and who is in the Michigan Sports Hall of Fame? Who votes? Let's see. I don't know. It's just a compendium of, or a compendium. Is that such a word? Where do I get that from?
It is a word, I think. I should look it up.
I don't know why I use that, but anyway.
I like it.
So, hey.
Can't understand a word.
A lot of them are friends of mine. I'm just saying, so that's where the week started. But I wanted to get into something else.
I want to add to what you're saying, that it always annoyed me that as radio, we never got the interviews people like Gary Graff got.
I know.
They always went to the rock press, and they would get people. And I thought, Gary's great, and honestly, he deserves everything he gets. But you know what? We reached 1 million people a week on the radio, and you could hear every word and every emotion and every laugh. And for some reason, we didn't get as many.
Going back to Harold Baines, did you hear LaRusse's defense of putting
What was his defense? I got to hear this.
Here you go.
Surprise.
This is now, with Chris Russo, Mad Dog.
Yeah.
Don't you think when you are talking about a guy that you have a very close relationship
he's
to,
a little pissy.
The owner, Reinsdorf, is on a board of Hall of Fame directors. You got Alomar to play with him, and
what
Gillick
a lovely
was the general
voice
manager.
Russo has.
Don't you think that's going to lead people to think that this is a little bit of a conflict of interest?
Well, let me ask you. Do you think that people that know him better than the average expert fan or even other baseball executives, with you, actually been teammates with him, If I'm not going to recount what Alomar said about him or Pat Gillick, when they speak with more knowledge about the type of player that he was, productive player, I think that that speaks more to his credit, not less.
I understand he's a productive player, Tony, but you got to be an immortal to go into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
You got to be an all-time great. You got a guy that is when you look at him, that's a Hall of Famer.
Right.
I saw him play. He's the same age as me. I watch all the games. I never thought when I was looking at Harold Baines that this is a Hall of Famer in front of my presence. Now, I didn't think that about Al Arena, but I didn't think that about him.
That tells me you got to look at the game closer. And when you have a guy that's a candidate for a Hall of Fame, let me ask you another question. Oh. Did you think Alan Trammell was a Hall of Famer?
He's debatable. Debatable. Now, let me hear it.
Tony about took off his headset.
I think he is. And the writers felt the same way. He never got in with the writers.
That's the point with the writers. You know,
I don't vote.
Tony didn't play with Tram. He doesn't know how great he is.
You got a mouthpiece, and you're telling
people
stuff, and they believe
that's how I feel. I got to give you my opinion.
Here's one of the biggest issues around. There's a certain strong disrespect for traditional and old school, whether it's scouts, whether it's player development, whether it's the value of coaching, whether it's the value of in-game decision making. And you have the metrics, which is a really valuable tool. I'm a big fan of information. That's how I survive.
I agree.
But they have a place in the game. And what you need to do is you need to respect each other.
I get it.
Red Sox metrics.
Are there people that aren't fans of information?
And what happens a lot of times is people on that side are less respectful.
Stop. Shut up, Tony. Come on. He's your buddy. It's fine.
By the way, it sounds like somebody's welding something in the background. That's all I can hear.
Writers. He was on a Hall of
He does get a little pissy later, but we'll post it.
Whatever.
Can I do one more?
Yeah.
Filter
rate. Another Hall of Fame?
No.
Yeah, tear down another one.
You know, I've talked a lot about customer service, like at doctors and everything like that. I want to talk about the disrespect of fans by major league teams. And I don't just mean the fact that they don't care about your safety with the netting, et cetera, that they fought. They don't care that they trade J.D. Martinez or even Jose Iglesias, that they're going to lower prices or that they really care what the fans think. Or Golden Tate in the middle of a season to see it go downhill that. But this is about health, and there's an incredible story today in ESPN, Outside the Lines, about 16,000 food safety reports from the 111 venues for pro teams. Now, I want you to understand that I had never eaten concession food at ballparks. I have not for my entire adult life. Delicious. I don't eat the nachos with the runny yellow colored fake cheese and the shitty round tortillas.
I could go for some of that right now.
I never eat off the big greasy grill with the onions and the green peppers and the sausage frying.
Out. I'm getting hungry.
Next to the piles of burnt remnants delicious. Off to the side.
Oh, those are the best.
Savory and delicious.
I never risk that the idiot that spits on pizzas is going to serve me my food at Comerica Park. I don't trust the chicken that's been sitting out in the sun or any of that. I don't trust servers wiping their faces then handling my food. The sweating cooks. The beer I've seen dripping from the ceiling and the beef blood I've seen on the shelves. Okay? And all at ridiculous prices, by the way. Yeah. I will eat a bag of peanuts and a beer, and I still wonder if the lines from the draft hoses are cleaned or not. So
it's so good.
There's a lot to worry about.
They do this series. They spend 2 years on it. And
they really spent 2 years. I read the headline and a little bit of the story, and I was
the second worst venue in America.
Oh no!
Was the Palace of Auburn Hills?
What?
86% of the stations that served you food had high risk of sanitation issues.
Yeah.
Second worst behind Charlotte. Ford Field, high level. The inspectors saw helpers touching raw burger, then the buns without washing their hands.
Ew.
They see the fans self-serve the condiments by sticking their hand into the jalapeno jar without utensils. Of the 52 food stations of Comerica, 21 had high violations.
At Comerica?
At Comerica Park, okay?
How far... How badly did our stadium, the Palace is the second worst, right?
Palace is the worst. Well, Ford Field had a very high level of it.
Where's Comerica ranked?
I'm not sure where it ranked on the list of 111.
That doesn't sound good, 21 out of 52.
But it's just the show.
Think about the Champions Club with that. Could I expect better food up there?
Probably better there. It is air conditioned up there. But it's just 28% of the venues, half or more of the food stations were in high violation threat of foodborne illnesses.
You know what the problem is?
Oh, man. This is going to make a primo dump later on.
Everyone's going to be appalled at this story, but then when spring rolls around, and they do that obligatory news story of, hey, look at all the great new food at Comerica Park. Everyone's going to be like, I got to try that donut nacho thing.
Tell me if you remember this. About 20 years ago, Channel 4 did an expose where they hid in the bushes with their hidden cameras and everything, and they went and they checked the water in the Coleman coolers you have when you're on the golf course, public course. And so they went into that and said they found fecal matter and semen and most of
semen
in a cooler.
So my friend Ellie and I would play golf at these public courses and we'd cross bring our own water. We'd walk over to Ellie and say, cup of semen for you? Oh. Here for a glass of semen.
They never thought they were going to get caught. We caught them.
That's someone beating off
comedian?
In it. Then.
Yeah.
What the hell is going on there?
Who knows?
I mean, everything's got fecal matter on it. Everything.
That's understood. It's the semen that's the story.
Yeah.
Fecal matter's assumed.
Yeah, I'd be shocked if there wasn't any feces in the water.
Got a fecal-free glass of water, please.
It's
ninth hole.
Wow.
Oh, gross.
Boy, times are tough. And all these people are eating at all these stadiums, and I really haven't heard about people getting sick at games, have you?
That's not, if you watch this thing, you'll see.
Really?
By the way, 3,000 people a year die of foodborne disease, not from necessarily ballparks.
That's it?
48 million people get sick from eating bad food.
They need more immunities. They need to eat more bad food.
Oh, it shows how good our strict food safety laws are.
It's
3,000. That's pretty good.
Or it shows how much E. coli we have ingested over time.
Yeah, to build up an immunity. That's for all that semen water, feces water.
One of the reasons, besides the fact they don't care about you, is that it's high volume, it's high temperature. People are moving in and out really, really fast. And there's problems with temperature. There's problems with pests, bugs, old equipment. At least now they didn't have it on the Little Caesars Arena, but at least the grills are new. They're not caked with last year's stuff. But anyway, I don't want to gross people out.
Was Little Caesars
told us about semen water?
I don't want it, but I want to see someone eat it.
I didn't hear LCA on your list.
That's because this ended in 2017.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
I think their grills are pretty new. They didn't have the years of built up crap, causing bacteria to
I had a hot dog there, and it was kind of cold. But I did eat it.
But you only paid $6 for it, so what's the big deal?
I know. The beer was fine.
And a soggy bun that was sitting in the heated thing with the hot dogs.
Yeah. Hot dogs? You know I have irritable bowel syndrome, you racist.
Are you likely to get better food in a two-thirds empty arena like LCA or in a full arena?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know how to answer that. I would think it'd be kind of the same.
Okay. That's a weird question.
Well, everybody's in the concourse. Everyone's in the concourse anyway.
That arena's always two-thirds empty, so I figured maybe the food's better.
Drew waits for the attendance report in the fourth quarter before he decides to go to the concession stand.
Exactly.
Oh, man.
All right.
By the way, quickly, before I go, because we never did our Star Lincoln read.
Was that a report brought to you by Star Lincoln?
I never even said that. Brought to you by McInerney Star Lincoln, luxury cars, legendary dealership at 12 and Telegraph in Southfield. And also, of course, it's the wish list, annual wish list event at Hoot McInerney Star Lincoln. Go call Jimmy D, your personal salesman for the Drew and Mike show, and he'll tell you about the new Navigator, the Nautilus, the line of SUVs that surpasses all brands. Tis the season for this wish list. You can get great deals at Star Lincoln. So be a part of the legend. Come see their beautifully remodeled showroom, the perfect environment to shop, and have your personal salesperson, Jimmy D, at 855-567-STAR. Yeah, and by the way, my other client here that you've done an amazing job for, and I say that in total sincerity, yesterday three Drew and Mike listeners signed up for surgery, and Rachel wanted me to give them a little shout-out. I know you get on Maz when you give shout-outts, but Lee is having clear lens this Monday, Dylan's getting LASIK early next year, and Jeff is going to get the clear lens, which is the multifocal lenses next year. So.
Step up to the mic. Sounds like it's time for a
shout-out.
He sold a car. It's your birthday. You're a celebrity. How's your grandma? Friend of the show. You're related. You're not related. He just met you. You like Seinfeld. You like big girls. Two Mandy Moores. You sent a t-shirt. Who's going to ship it? It's not a sports podcast.
Shout out.
I this went by the other day when Maz was there. We brought up some woman. He's like, I like all women. Like, any kind of woman fits in what he wants. So he does like big girls. And he likes all women.
Really?
He likes a lot of things.
I'm going to remind him of that.
Regardless of the fact that he is a happily married man, when you look like Maz under Maz's age, more things look good than they did 20 years earlier. I'll say the same for myself, too.
There's a lot of truth to that. I'm feeling it.
Well, by the way, I'm excited because next week on Thursday, we're going to talk to Brandy.
Oh, yeah.
And by the way, he is in the Michigan Sports Hall of Fame.
Is he? Of course he is.
But great guy. I graduated from him the same year as at Michigan.
Is that right?
I didn't know that.
We had classes together. We worked together from the 70s until recently. We worked together many, many times. I'm excited to talk to him about
that. He's a great guy. Yeah.
And you've had him on before, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. When he lost his job with the Lions.
That's right.
And we had him on back in the Riff days in 105.1.
Oh, yeah.
Brandy on. He's always a great guest.
Love that story about where Bo chased him down the field.
Oh, yeah.
First year. Kicked him in the butt.
No, he's just rock solid. And have you talked to him since the Ohio State game?
Oh, yeah. Oh, since the Ohio State game? No.
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 I don't want to belabor it, but I'm intrigued to see what he thinks about Michigan, Florida, and some of the other bowl games. And
I heard him talking about not doing the Thanksgiving game for the Lions because it's the first time in years, and how he was sitting at home yelling at the TV, and the inner broadcaster came out.
Let's see. I want to see if he'll be a little more frank about the Lions. Jimmy and I come from very different backgrounds in sports reporting. He is basically a company guy, but that's part of his job. A play-by-play guy has to speak for the home team and from their perspective. Now that he's not with the Lions, will he be a little bit more – will he just be frank like any one of your fans and talk about as he sees it? Or will he be protective and a little reluctant to really say what he thinks? We'll see.
How's Lomas doing, by the way? Anybody have any thoughts on that? Is that working out?
I don't know if it's working out or not. I think he's a decent analyst, but as I told Lomas, man, you got to speak a little bit faster.
Yeah.
I told him I would help him with some of his pronunciation that's not great, And but nobody works with broadcasters. Nobody will help him. Nobody will move him along. And I think I showed you when we played one of them here. I sped him. If you play any of my sports classics, or Lions classics with Lomas, he is quick. He's on the point. And everything is better because I sped him up like 20%, made a huge difference.
No kidding.
Yes.
Wow, I didn't know that. He's a great guy, too. I just find him super likable. I'm rooting for him, for sure.
Yeah, I liked him in the studio when he did the studio shows.
Yeah.
But doing it live is just different. I think he gets a little bogged down in the X's and O's on the radio.
It is weird how they
can't
just
see it, so just
they just
make it up.
Throw a guy in there like Jason Witten. Really?
Oh, God,
just throw him on there? He's getting murdered by the press and by the fans?
Is Lomas getting murdered by the press?
No,
and the
Jason
fans?
Witten is on Monday Night Football.
Yeah. He's
it's awful.
Awful. He's awful.
He's awful.
Tony Romo is pretty good. You know Romo?
I love him.
Oh, yeah.
So
being a rookie is no excuse then for Jason Witten.
No, I think it's more about being a quarterback.
I don't think he's going to be good. I don't think it's going to work. But to just throw him into Monday Night Football is insane. Did they actually do practice games and say, yeah, we love him?
I'm sure
they went the white Cowboys always work well. You know, we had Moose, Aikman, Romo, so let's get another white former cowboy.
You're a cowboy.
The game also isn't what. Aren't some of the secondary Monday night games have like nobody's on them? They got.
Well, they only do it once.
The opening game.
Week. Yeah. The
only time? Okay.
They had Beth Mowins and I don't remember.
And the kid got fired. That sideline guy that got fired for some reason. I can't remember after that first game. But anyway, we'll talk to Brandy next week.
All righty.
Thank you. Eli's going. See you next time.
Thank you.
Eli's going.
No filter.
He's going.
Did you know Tyson, Mike Tyson, is opening a pot shop?
A pot shop?
Yeah, because he was on.
Can Calvin Johnson get in on his license?
I was thinking about the same thing. I'm surprised more athletes don't.
Assalamu alaikum, Maida.
But he was talking to Dan Patrick about how he got high before the Palace fight against Gulata.
Oh, really?
Yeah. See, he claims it was the only time he got high before the fight. Because remember, he tested positive afterwards, and they stripped him of that title.
Oh, that's
that,
right.
That
yeah,
win.
I forgot about that.
A no contest. That was a fun event.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting having Mike Tyson in town for a few days. Little Tay has broken her silence.
Really?
Yes,
how old
is
she now?
She's 10.
Oh, really?
This story just gets dumber and dumber anytime I read anything new about it.
That's why I wasn't asking, what'd she say?
I know. Why is she speaking anyway? Her parents, I don't understand, they treat this story like...
She can't even punch right, bitch. She a pussy.
They treat this story like she is really the ultimate voice of Little Tay.
What?
I mean, honestly, they do. Her parents, first of all, why was she ever on Instagram doing that crap?
Yeah.
She was 9.
I thought her brother was the mastermind.
I'm not, you know, it's unclear to me what all is going on. I
can't
suspect
her parents
the
facilitated it because they all those real estate properties.
Well, her father
didn't even.
Her father was not, he apparently didn't even know about it. And she moved from Vancouver to Los Angeles. He had custody of her every other week, so he sued immediately, and she was forced to move back to Vancouver with her mother.
Well,
her mother would have been arrested.
At least she doesn't have to go back to Atlanta.
When I was 6 years old, I lived in Atlanta, and I was broke as hell.
But
this shit costs more to your rent. My toilet costs more to your rent.
Toilet.
Everything in my bathroom costs more to your rent.
Why would anyone let a 9-year-old on social media to do this? It's absolutely defies common sense. And they're not, Instagram claims you can't be under 13 on Instagram.
Well, that's why I thought it was her brother that made the account and started doing it.
But once this little thing goes off like this, you would think they go, no, that's not a good idea. Now, don't anyone tell me that she has so many followers, they can't give. No, she had a million. There's a gazillion people with as many followers as her. Why would one person be so important to Instagram? Really? I don't know. I can't see it.
So what did she break her silence on? Yeah.
Well,
I'm interested.
She says that she's dropped out of school because she's too famous.
She's 11?
She's 10.
Oh, here we go.
10.
Here it is. Ready?
She dropped out of school. Hmm.
She's being homeschooled.
Ugh.
So she's going to play?
Good luck.
And her father is the pot up, maybe?
Oh, well, no, I think he leaves it up. I don't know where he went.
I was talking to
Eli.
Eli
are getting a room. He's doing his post interview.
Post breakdown.
If you can't get the person before the interview to do his interview, he gets him afterwards. Yeah, so her father wants her in public school. He wants his kid to have a normal life. He wants her off Instagram. He wants her to go to public school. But she says, I'm too famous to go to public school. I'll be mobbed. And she doesn't want to do that. The father also wants... she and the mother seem to be saying the father's full of shit. And he just wants money. He trademarked the name Little Tay.
That's smart.
But, yeah, I thought so, too.
Smart businessman. I'm starting to like this guy.
He wanted a certain percentage of her money to go to a trust fund, and he wanted some other things, and I don't know. It just sounds like a big fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. So, I don't know. It just sounds to me like there are two pathetic parents here. Maybe one cares more than the other. I don't know. Why the mother would move to Los Angeles to develop Little Tay's career... Really? The mother smells dollars?
Oh, I mean, yeah.
Come on.
What's that whole influencer bullshit?
She's nine, talking about throwing the N-word around.
I'm not going to defend it, but obviously the mom is sick and sees this and sees it as a way to make money because there's a lot of stupid ways to make money on Instagram.
Well, remember when we saw them interviewed, the mom and the kid?
This bag cost me a Lamborghini.
The mom seemed to be deferring to a nine-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
That's her star, though, you know? She's like an unscrupulous agent.
I guess that's what happens in a lot of these cases, but it just struck me as...
Well, it really backfired because mom lost her job. And...
Yep, and she had to move back to Vancouver because you can't just move a kid out of the country who has visitation with the father.
It's crazy.
And
how'd they leave Atlanta?
Together, maybe.
Did they ever live in Atlanta? I don't think they ever lived.
Yeah, she was broke as hell.
Hell.
I just heard her.
When I was 6 years old, I lived in Atlanta, and I was broke as hell.
You don't tell me she's lying.
Well, then she started pushing bricks.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
That's how she got her money, pushing bricks.
This bag cost me a Lamborghini.
Oh, did you see Lamborghini in the news and why Lamborghini is in the news?
Wait, the last time I saw Lamborghini in the news was when... Cardi B and Offset bought matching Lamborghinis, but they were different colors, actually.
Hurry up the rubber with my Lamborghini.
I think last time we talked about...
Is there something gauche about even a star posting matching Lamborghinis? Do fans get off on that now? Because in my day, I would think you'd go, that's really annoying. I don't want to see that. Well, we know you're rich.
This is kind of up those...
It's cute that you'd think it was gauche, because nothing is gauche.
I know Nicki Minaj and her... rapist, manslaughtering boyfriend who she wants to have babies with, which is like, wow, that doesn't sound like a great gene pool to me.
Ooh, and she's suing Jesse Palmer.
Oh, yeah. What is the charge?
I don't know. He lied about her.
He said she supported her rapist brother.
Yeah.
He said this is the second rapist.
I just want to be in the courtroom for Minaj v. Palmer.
Yeah, I would love to. I'd love to see that, too. I wonder if Jesse Palmer's... I wonder if he's sweating...
So here's the Lambo story, and it actually involves that stupid Lamborghini SUV that we were talking about, Trudy.
Yeah.
I'll just let you read that, Trudy.
Awful.
Instagram video shows Pastor John Gray giving his wife a $200,000 Lamborghini. A pastor. That's nice. Greenville Pastor John Gray appears to have gifted his wife a $200,000 Lamborghini sports utility vehicle for their 8th anniversary. God help me to make my wife's dream come true. Why not?
If I say I'm God, then I guess you have to take the side of Satan, no, motherfucker.
She made mine come true. His wife, Aventer Gray, that's an interesting name, defended her husband in her own Instagram post. Now, she's certainly objective, so I'm glad she did post.
That's right.
Saying he gives away cars and furniture as well as coats off his back in addition to tithing and donations.
So it's cool for him to do that.
But a Lambo SUV is worth how much?
$200,000.
How many people?
200 grand. Yeah.
How many people could he have fed with it?
That's my thought. I always thought people, this is what it so befuddles me in the televangelical world, is that these people live like superstars, and yet they're supposed to be, aren't people that head churches supposed to be humble some way?
Well, that's another silly idea now.
I guess so.
Do you think the members of his congregation were donating so she could have a $200,000 Lamborghini SUV?
I sure wouldn't think so, but I don't know. You know, Jim Baker, when I remember, because I was in Charlotte when Jim Baker went down, Jim and Tammy Faye, they were fabulously entertaining, and they did contribute greatly to my career at the time. So I thanked them for that. But he really had sold his viewers, because he had a TV show, the PTL, which they call Pass the Loot, actually stands for. I forgot what it does stand for. But anyway,
isn't it Praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord. I'm sorry. Pass the Lutes, the first thing I think of. He convinced his viewers that God wanted him to have great wealth, that there was nothing wrong with this. And I noticed that other people have latched on to that.
Yeah. Creflo Dollar and others.
Terrible.
There's a term for it, too. Isn't
well,
it like,
seed money is what they...
There's another term, though, like... it escapes me. But it's sort of, and they pass it along like, you too should want to have great riches, and God wants you to have great riches, and so I do, and it's good. God's happy about it. But I can't remember the term.
Say how happy God was when she got the Lambo here.
Yeah.
The Lambo, by the way, looks like, it kind of looks like an MKX.
Yeah, it's, I wouldn't want one. I mean, yeah, I would, but I wouldn't.
Well, for $200,000.
God's like, don't drag me into this.
Listen to that man of God.
Listen to...
Ridiculous.
Yeah, here's an example.
I really believe that if Jesus was physically on the earth today, he wouldn't be riding a donkey.
Oh, that guy. Yeah.
Think about that for a minute. He'd be in an airplane preaching the gospel.
Prosperity
all over the
preaching,
world.
I think it's called, or prosperity. Right. Something.
Televangelist.
Jesus would not be flying in a... Well, maybe...
God says, I need a plane. That's the guy that was raising money for a new plane.
Yeah, yeah.
And he'd already raised money for two, but he wanted a luxury plane because he was going to be traveling more. So the quote from the wife is just beyond belief.
I don't see anyone screaming about how basketball players drive what they do while you pay dollars to see them play in arenas and on fields.
You know what your money's going to.
Yeah, you're paying because of the greatness of their performance. You're plunking down money because you want a ticket to see them play. Now, if he preached and said, we need to raise money for my wife's Lamborghini, and I think that would be unacceptable to me, but maybe more acceptable to them. I mean, that's just stupid.
Transparency.
That God so graciously gave us, we're flying home. As I was going home, the Lord, real quickly, he said, Jesse, do you like your plane? Now, you know, I thought that's an odd statement.
Real quickly.
He gave, I said, well, certainly, Lord. He said, do you really like it? And I thought, well, yes, Lord.
God digs
he
in.
Said, then he said this.
I'm going to crash
so that's it.
It.
I didn't know how to handle that. I went, what? He said, you're going to let your faith stagnate? And when he said that, that shocked me. I went, whoa, wait. I literally unbuckled my seatbelt, my plane. I stood up. My pilots looked around and said, do you need something? I said, no, I'm talking to God right now. And he went back to flying.
You couldn't have done that on an airliner.
No, sir. No
oh,
way.
Oh, my God.
And say, what'd you say, Lord?
No.
Okay, no, yeah.
And the guy sitting over there saying, what the hell does he think he's doing?
You can't do
you
that.
You can't do that.
No.
The world is in such a shape, we can't get there without this.
That's right.
We've got to have this. We would
with the
have
commercial planes
the
won't work?
No.
No, you can't stand up.
Places. He can't talk to God on his feet.
Jesus only co-pilots private planes.
75 to 80, more like 90% of what we're doing.
You God. That is the worst show possibly ever, but there are...
People probably watch it.
He did raise the money. I mean, isn't it amazing there are people so stupid, they're going, oh, my God, I got to send money.
Yeah, he needs the money. Read the rest of her post.
We don't live for people. We live for God. Relentless church? Well, they're pretty relentless about getting money. Did not immediately return requests for comments on this article. An interview on Greenville News. Gray defended pastors who drive fancy cars. He said at the time that he had few indulgences, and one of them was to have a fine car. And his wife, too, I guess. He pointed to multiple sources of income, said pastors in general who spend on expensive cars tend to use money from outside ventures like book deals or television rights rather than their church paycheck. But all of it comes from the church.
Church, yeah. What a
great
joke.
Reality television star with a show on OWN. Why? I'm really blown away. I never understood this. Why is it that people like Jim Baker, Jerry Falwell, Oral Roberts, who said, God will take me home if I don't get this much money. Why are they allowed to ask for money on TV that ends up in their pocket, much of it? I mean,
nonprofit, too.
An event or, you know, Jerry's kids or something, and the person isn't making a salary off it, I would say that's one thing. But where you are sharing, and I just don't understand why the FCC never ever questioned it. Jim Baker's back on TV selling shit, by the way.
I guess
selling
you just,
survival stuff for Armageddon on TV.
Oh, he's one of those now.
Yeah.
By the way,
yes, he is.
They don't pay taxes either.
I know, they're double dipping. This is what I was wondering. Does the individual himself pay taxes if the money's coming from his book sales and all that other bullshit?
No, because this is in the name of God, and once I bet you the churches.
That's why I don't believe her, because I bet you all that stuff does run back to the church to avoid paying taxes.
Right.
So exactly. His income is probably zero.
Exactly. By the way, speaking of Armageddon, I was watching a little bit of Leah Remini last night that you were talking about.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And the whole Jehovah's Witness. I had no idea when they were coming to the door that that's what they think.
I know.
Is going to happen to you?
Mind-boggling. Yeah, they're constantly saying Armageddon's coming, Armageddon's coming, Armageddon's coming, Armageddon's coming, Armageddon's cutting, coming.
And the people.
Well, it is eventually.
But they've been wrong many, many times. Many times.
I'm joking.
They've been screaming Armageddon.
It's still coming.
I think they've been screaming Armageddon since the first claim was by 1925.
Right.
And they've upped the year, of course, sporadically.
Yeah, the protesters carrying signs had like all their different Armageddon predictions.
I love
and crossed out.
I love
it. Yeah, that was a good show.
But somebody came to my house not long ago, and they're like, "We'll be back." And I was thinking, "You can't talk to me. I'm worldly."
Ah, that's right.
Sort with me because I'm a worldly, which is their
that's
insidious description of.
You know, the next time they come to my door, I'm going to say, "But when I join your church, I can't be friends with anyone outside the church. I'd have to excommunicate my family from my life."
They'll lie to you. They'll say, "No, you don't. We'll bring them in the fold."
But
I wish Scientology came
be
to tax door. I'd love to talk to some Scientologists.
Why don't you just go down to the downtown to the
just go get
center?
Her.
Yeah, there
I
you
prefer
go.
Them come to me. Less work. I don't have to park. Parking's always expensive.
Yeah, but it's a great venue. It's a nice building.
I don't think they'll let you in there. They have a lot of security.
Oh yeah, they will. No, they'll let you.
Just can't get back out.
I don't want to be audited. Yeah, true. But, you know, did you watch the episode about the new bedfellows, the Church of the Nation of Islam? And
no, I didn't get to that point.
That is the most incredible thing. I really
it
was.
Is amazing.
I am so blown away by that.
How did they master? They masterfully sucked that.
It's one master stroke.
Whoa,
I wonder what
shit.
The, you know, the only thing that would bother
genius,
me.
Genius, genius.
Yeah.
If I was a Nation of Islam, is that the Scientology sucks money out of people. Are they getting a kickback on every dollar that's sucked out?
They've gotta be.
And why don't they just suck it out directly instead of having Scientology suck it out?
Right. Do you think Lou Farrakhan would feel
Lou
undercut by
yes.
David Miscavige?
Absolutely.
This guy who's 5'3" and
there's got to be a kickback somewhere in there.
There's got to.
But the idea too, this I just he couldn't. I had to pause the TV. The idea that a white person cannot enter a Nation of Islam mosque. Unless they're selling Scientology.
Wow. Ludicrous.
Well, mind-blowing.
What just a concept.
Christ. Holy Christ.
Oh, boy. All right.
Jonah Stillman infiltrated, or Stillman, that is, infiltrated
oh, Mr.
General
Gen Z
Motors.
Guru.
Please welcome Jonah Stillman!
Isn't it just, again, mind-boggling that Jonah Stillman, who we know as we know him, that he is being taken seriously by giant companies and the media treats him like he is some guy who has this insider knowledge on where these giant businesses are going and what they need to do. This stupid 19-year-old brat spitting out these buzzwords. So
I know. Do you think all the people that are getting furloughed or laid off really care what this punk ass has to say?
No, they're probably disgusted that their company spends
money
getting
on him
his opinion.
Not them. Yeah,
and
like he does more for that company than they do.
I also have noticed that all these there's other Gen Z girls. In fact, there's another Gen Z guru that they quote in the story. He's a little older. They keep telling us what we need to know about Gen Z because they're about to be part of our work life. It's like, whoever got some kind of red carpet treatment or, oh, you better understand these kids coming to your workplace because why?
I don't remember. They're hey,
kids.
Ladies and gentlemen, millennials. I don't remember that. In fact, when I was graduating college, it was the recession. So it was like, you know, we didn't get no jobs. And then I don't really recall the big Gen X. Did they really?
No, we didn't care.
No, there was no carpet rolled out for Gen X.
Gen Z, born 1995 to 2012. And yet for some reason, no one is paying attention to us.
Well, nor did we spend endless hours trying to figure out what you guys were up to or what you were up to.
Right, no, that well, we should kiss to. Gen Z's ass because, oh my God, they're about to honor us with their appearance in the workplace. And here's what they want. Their demands. You don't make demands when you're a fucking punk coming out of college. You take the best deal you can get.
Jason is a best-selling author and the millennials expert.
This is the president of the Center for Generational Kinetics. He was the one you were talking about that's quoted.
Research for companies around the world. His passion is sharing what he discovers in an unforgettable way. The following video features Jason delivering customized presentations at several different events. He received a standing ovation at each one.
What? What? How many of you have had a conversation with someone of a different age, and it was very, very, very important, and at the end of the conversation, you knew when they walked away, they had no idea what you just told them? Raise your hand.
Oh, my God.
That seems unstable.
So what do you do when this happens? Oh, I know. No, I know what a lot of you in here do.
Then you did a shitty job expressing yourself, obviously, because they hold the power and you're nobody.
You need to do something about your millennials.
If that's the way he expresses himself, I'm definitely not.
And
hey, that received a standing ovation.
I apologize for this, Brandon, but I am so tired of hearing about the millennials who are destroyed because they came to the workplace in the middle of the
Hey, I really struggled.
Nobody's ever gone to work during a recession.
I did really struggle for it. I lost my gig because
I understand that, but can you imagine being 55 and the recession hits and you're out of a job? You're fucked. Mm-hmm. Right. If you're 20 or you're 22, you've got a lot of time to make up for it.
Yeah, that's what I ended up doing. I ended up just switching careers. I got into radio and met you guys. Which, by the way, I got to interrupt.
You're hanging out in a basement.
I do have to interrupt real quick. Did you guys send Omaha steaks to my house?
Yes.
I got them yesterday, and I just wanted to tell you guys probably the coolest thing anybody's ever done for me. There's a lot of meat, and my freezer's full, and I got it yesterday, and I don't know how to thank you guys.
It's going to be done off the air.
It's a belated baby gift.
Thank you for the steaks.
The worst part, truly, is that I made some real friends here.
Got some steaks here. Thank you, guys. No, seriously, guys. Thank you, guys. I appreciate
Unfortunately, the baby doesn't get to eat anything, but well.
Well, the baby indirectly gets to enjoy the
That's true.
Omaha
you're
steaks.
Right. Yeah. The baby's been kissed, has his ass kissed enough, I think. The
baby doesn't know.
that baby's 1 month birthday today?
The baby's 1 month birthday today, and it's also my 404th birthday today in terms of months.
He's 404 months old.
Wow.
I don't know.
Sounds very Massaway-esque to me.
Yeah.
Well, I realize today's the 13th. It's her 1 month birthday. Since I was born on April 13th, I did the math. So,
I was going to take us from Little Tay to a place that I thought made sense, but we got a little misdirected there, or at least we went on a little tangent, and I'll bring us back to the fact that the Bad Baby Tour was in Australia. And a guy proposed on stage, was arranged. Bad Baby apparently got the buzz that there was
Catch me outside. How about that?
Is that what she said?
Something like that. She got the word, I guess, that somebody wanted to propose at the Bad Baby concert.
Who's Bad Baby? She a bitch. She's trying to act cool with her bodyguard.
That's a little take coming.
She does have three bodyguards. So TMZ had the audio.
How about that?
Can you imagine getting engaged at a Bad Baby concert? First of all, I can't believe anyone who is old enough to get engaged would go to a Bad Baby concert and then decide that is the venue. Oh my God, would it be cool to get engaged at a Bad Baby concert?
Maybe they're doing it cynically.
Well, I'd respect that. This is Australia. She's in Australia. Wait, who made it rain?
Bad Baby.
Bad Baby, she made it rain when he got on one knee.
That's easily the most entertaining thing that happened on that stage that night.
Oh, my God.
So is she going to be a big star?
Oh, you're not going
to hear about.
You're not getting rid
of. How about that?
Really?
She's going nowhere.
Thank you very much.
She got all the way to Australia.
But she's just someone who said something stupid on Dr.
Phil.
Yeah.
Thanks again, Dr. Phil.
You were nothing before I came on this show.
And so now she's an international singing star.
How about that?
That little drop is so cute. I really love it.
Oh, that's what launched
every
her.
Every time I hear it. I know. Apparently it was that good.
How about that?
How about that?
How about that?
How soon will she be pregnant, by the way?
Ew.
Any thoughts on that? I mean, doesn't it seem like the next thing?
Yeah.
Mm. Well, she's, how old is she? 15 now.
Yeah.
15.
Oh, my God. Here's a clip from one of her concert. Of course, everybody in the front has their phone up and recording. Oh, they're all girls her age.
Caddy, but doesn't that seem like a small room?
Yeah. There's not even 400
it's jammed,
people.
Jammed, though. It is jammed. No?
Well, in the front, it's jammed where everybody is.
And all these hoes laughing like so funny.
Did you say the hoes are laughing?
Yep.
So the audience are a bunch of hoes?
Yep.
I don't know, I'm starting to see the talent. When I listen to the show, I go, well, there's something to this kid.
Wow.
Trudy, I just try to escape or enter the 15-year-old female mind. What is it they get when they buy those tickets? What are they seeking?
I think they're all, you know, interconnected on social media with this whole thing. And so they excite themselves. I don't know. I remember being at a Rick Springfield concert with
Rick Springfield could play guitar.
Yeah, I know.
He could sing.
I know.
He's a good-looking guy.
He never told Tom Snyder to cash him outside.
No.
I know. But the teenage girls didn't care. All they cared about him was cute.
But he did have songs with hooks and melodies. And
adults
he had some ability.
But you just said that he was cute, so there's nothing attractive about her. Lifestyle, her attitude is not something you would want kids to emulate.
No, you're right. And I think I've seen dumber things than this, but...
What?
But they're so unmemorable. Lil Tay.
Who?
Lil Tay.
Yeah, that's a little dumber. I know this is dumber.
It's way
if Lil Tay was on stage doing raps and people were screaming, that would be dumber. But at least she doesn't have a concert tour. I mean, I just am amazed that somebody actually saw, we'll make her a musician.
Hey, they were
and,
right.
And then you listen to the songs and you go, wait, but that song is so dumb. It's all about street cred, I'm a badass, I call people horrible names,
isn't
I use
though,
the N-word.
Isn't it though, since record companies sort of aren't the happening thing anymore for promoting artists, doesn't somebody just get a hold of somebody, hype the hell out of them, hope they can sell tickets, make some money before that person is expired and over?
But then
and
they
do
but
it
then
through
they
social
don't
media.
It seems like they don't expire, though. Can't we have an expiration date?
Oh,
go away.
Bad baby, she'll expire.
She was just named the 15th most influential teen of 2018.
Wait a second.
Time magazine.
Didn't she get nominated for an American Music Award?
Billboard, yeah.
Time magazine says in September she signed a multi-million-dollar deal with Atlantic Records, and her recent single, These Hoes, for Goalie became the youngest female rapper ever to chart on the Billboard Hot 100. Next up, a Snapchat reality show. And while Bregoli is floored that she's gone from spending some nights sleeping on the floor of a trailer to being one of this year's most popular Halloween costumes.
She didn't live in a trailer.
She recognizes that she's not exactly a role model.
How many influential teens are there? Of course she's going to be in the top 25.
There are a lot of them.
How many other teens can you name?
Well, I wouldn't be able to name many, but with social media, you've got a bazillion teens that have followings. I mean, isn't this...
Yeah, but don't you have to go outside of that to be one of the most influential?
Well, here's the list. Let me know if you know any of these people.
Okay.
Marley Diaz.
Never heard of it.
Marley Diaz.
Is that a guy or a girl?
It's a girl.
Is she hot?
What does she do? She's 13.
She's 13.
Okay.
I don't know what she does. I have no idea.
She wrote a book.
Rishab Jane?
No, get out of here. Wait,
these look like teens that have something on the ball. He's holding a trophy. Do you win a spelling bee or something?
He's like going to be a doctor or something. I think he's just really
he's
going to
cure cancer for us.
Marseille Martin.
She looks well-dressed and well-groomed.
She's got half a million Instagram followers.
What has she done?
Oh, Millie Bobby Brown.
I'm okay. Sick of her.
11.
I'm sick of her too.
She's a major diva on the set.
She's going to be in the new Godzilla movie.
I heard the same thing. She's horrible.
Storm Reid.
Who?
Storm.
What'd
she
do?
Appeared alongside Oprah Winfrey in some film.
Oh, Wrinkle in Time, which was a bomb.
Yeah.
My kids give a shit about Oprah Winfrey?
Well, she was in 12 Years a Slave as well. She was 10 years old. All right. Thandiwe Abdullah.
Never heard of her.
She is the co-founder of the Black Lives Matter LA Youth Vanguard.
Whatever.
Okay, great.
Bad Baby.
Yeah.
About that.
Woo!
Greta Thunberg.
Who?
Got a microphone.
Yeah, she's from Sweden.
She went on a three-week strike from school in an effort to urge her government to act on climate change.
That's all she's done?
What soft country went, this girl's got to get back to school?
By the way, in Sweden.
If it was America, they'd say, okay,
she's
fine.
A truant. Why isn't she in jail?
She's a truant.
I'm picking on, how old is she?
I don't know.
But I think Swedish people are supposed to be better.
She looks a little older than that.
She ran on her
Trudy,
looks.
I agree. Seriously, she's shallow thought. That kid, first of all, she doesn't look like a teenager to me. That kid's at least 25.
She looks like Beans from Even
Maybe
Stevens.
Maybe 30. Aging at the speed of light.
You know who should be on this list? That guy pretending that he was still in high school to play basketball. That's an influential teen.
I agree.
They
should have a tour.
The NCT Dream Team.
The who?
The NCT Dream.
Is that K-pop?
Yeah, K-pop. I guess they should be on the list.
I'll give it to them. They can dance.
Billie Eilish.
Ew, what is that?
I guess she does music.
Oh, God.
It's got to be depressing music.
Isabelle and Melody.
Wait, what was that Billie Ocean chick's name above that? Billie what?
She has a song called
I
Ocean
hear it.
Eyes.
Billie Eilish?
Yeah, Eilish.
Look how bummed out she is.
I know, she's really depressed. I think that's her selling point.
She's bringing
she
goth
looks
back.
Really depressed.
Oh, I bet you're in this song.
Isabelle and Melody. These two girls are swimming. Oh, they took care of plastic bags.
Whatever.
Clean up.
They're not influencing anybody.
Head Tamimi. Tamimi? She is involved in the Israeli-Arab.
Whatever. They just put her on the list to be nice.
Tania Speaks.
Okay.
Who's she? She's cute. She must have a big following.
Oh, she's against bullies.
Who isn't against
bullies?
Who's
for bullies?
I'm going to start being for them. Go bullies.
For bullies.
You'll get a following. There's a chunk of people there, and there's nobody seeking that audience.
David Hogg.
Oh, David Hogg.
For real.
Got it. I'm surprised he's not number one.
Oh, I bet he's mad that he's not number one.
What about the other people? Like Cameron?
It's the whole Parkland students.
Hogg didn't get his own.
But he gets the photo.
Oh, God.
This is that chick song.
This song blows.
Terrible.
I know. It's no high bitch.
Yeah. Hey, can you play Bad Baby These Hoes, please?
Yes.
I want to hear a new single.
A catch. Looks like she's a model.
Whatever.
Jace Norman.
Wearing a circus peanut.
I think Jace Norman is...
Kid has no style whatsoever.
Nickelodeon. Chloe Kim. She's an Olympian. Jack Cable.
What does he do?
Lays Cable.
Yeah, right.
He's a computer programmer. Amika George.
Wait, where's...
She protests Brexit or something.
Where's the Gen Z guru? Shouldn't he be on this list?
Yeah.
Margolin Gaddell. He's also looks like an Olympian. Kylian Mbappe. He's a soccer player.
Man, you're interrupting Bad Baby.
Oh, Mbappe's on there? He should be number one.
Kieran Shipka. Actress. Shiku Kenneth Mason.
Drew, do you know what she's saying? Yeah, well, you slept on the floor of your trailer.
Joey King. That's it. They feed off attention.
Zero time, that's what I get. They feed off attention? She's criticizing someone for feeding off attention?
Yeah, and she gives them zero attention. She's nothing like those hoes. Like CeeLo Green, she makes a lot of money.
Oh, that was clever. She did not write that.
It's a great rhyme.
There's no way she wrote it.
Go back to the beginning. I want to get into this song. I want to understand it. I'm becoming a fan.
Translate. We'll translate.
Sounds like Prodigy, right?
Please do.
Smack my bitch up. I didn't know the intro was this goddamn
great
long.
Production.
I ain't like these hoes. Don't compare me to no one.
Don't do it.
Money green like a seed of love.
Yep.
Yeah, my pocket's so swollen.
Yeah.
I ain't nothing like these hoes.
Nope.
Don't compare me to no one.
Don't do it.
Money green like a seed of love.
Is she going for the REM thing where you can't understand the lyrics to be mysterious?
And nothing like these hoes.
She's nothing like the haters. She's unique.
Can you read the lyrics, please? Is this on Song Meanings, that website? Can I find the lyrics there?
Probably. Money green like a CeeLo.
My
pocket is so swolla. I ain't nothing like these hoes.
Don't compare
me to no one. True.
Should be anyone. Your grammar's terrible.
Seems a little repetitive.
So she's saying that these haters.
What's the last line she just said?
These hoes are fake floss and fake ass jewelry. Got a neck rash. So they're fake.
A
these
neck
haters.
Rash. Why do
they
have a neck rash?
You know, if you wear like jewelry. Not real gold, your neck's gonna be green.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, that's what flossing is. They're faking it.
Wow.
These hoes be fake balling.
Same thing.
Fake what?
Fake balling. Tax money that shit won't last.
Fake what?
Balling.
Balling like a baller.
Oh, okay. And then what?
Tax money that shit won't last. In other words, they don't have much money.
Okay.
These hoes be dick riding and they gon' come up cause they let you fuck.
They what?
These hoes be dick riding, think they gon' come up cause they let you fuck.
She was 14 years old when she recorded this.
That's really nice.
In other words, sleeping their way to the top.
Well, kind of, but not literally sleeping. They give you attention, so then they're cool, and that's why they're dick riding.
Okay.
These hoes be full of drama. They always with the extra.
I don't know what that means. They're always with the extra.
Part of her mystery.
On the ground, they be fake flexing.
On the gram, they be fake flexing. On Instagram. There's more fake shit.
These hoes, they wake up, they broke. They mattresses be on the floor.
Yeah, see, that's so.
Oh, they wake up and they're broke and their mattresses are on the floor?
Yeah, with no sheets.
Oh. Stains.
These hoes, they wake up, they messy.
Yeah, they're messy.
They run in their mouth, they so petty.
They are petty.
These hoes, they feed off attention. Zero time, that's what I give. I ain't nothing like these hoes.
That's clever.
So she's taking down all the fake haters.
Who are these hoes? I want to know who these horrible people are so I can avoid them.
Not been listening.
I mean, this song is really about Lil Tay.
They wear fake jewelry.
Very relatable song, I gotta say.
It is.
I'm surprised.
Fuck bad baby. She a bitch. She's trying to act cool with her bodyguard. Go back to beating up your mom on Dr. Phil.
Does the video have pictures of the fake hoes?
Yeah, there's a Kardashian lookalike.
Some people getting like cosmetic surgery or something. I don't know.
Wait, well, I'm sorry. I lost her lyrics again. I didn't know what that one meant. Well, catch me off guard on No Boulevard for my car and my driver, my guard. Don't need no one but me. What about your four bodyguards? Ooh. Wait, she's drinking syrup? She's only, what, 14, 15?
Shame on these hoes. I'm in the Maybach. I heard you got repo. Hair down, diamonds on, need a peacoat. Heard the fans listen in.
Why is she so much better than these hoes?
Because she's singing.
No! Stop it!
Because she took down Dr. Phil.
I gotta get on this bad baby train. I think I've been missing something. I gotta open my mind. I'm being
Thank
too
you
square.
For that.
Yeah, just enjoy it.
Did you guys hear the Trent Bolte police interview? The
no.
Chris Watts gay lover.
Oh, no.
We were talking about it at the very end of the show yesterday, and Brand Don faithfully sent it in the prep today, which you faithfully ignored. And
which is a social media app. It's not a dating app, anything like that. Okay. He reached out to me and messaged me. It's pretty much.
Can I hear about people reaching out to people?
Verbatim.
Can you say
they
called
me, they clicked on me, they sent me a message.
He complimented me on a picture.
Get on it.
Complimented me on my lips.
What?
On a picture.
He did like those lips. He plumped them up for him, too.
Time, I kind of raised
I like how his legs are crossed because he's trying to keep his boner down.
Straight.
And what kind of pictures did he have on his profile?
Ooh.
He had picture, like a picture of the mountains. No, he didn't have any
in-face pictures.
No, he sent me those.
Butthole?
With his first message.
Now that we know that's a thing.
I asked him why he messaged me, because his profile says straight, and I was just wondering what his motives were.
Why? What did your profile say you were?
Why is he talking about this?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, and what did he say back to that?
He said,
here's Prince again.
I don't really know if I'm straight or not.
Somebody got a dick?
And proceeded to say, compliment me on my pictures, and, say cute pic.
Somebody got a dick?
Cute pic.
And then eventually he told me that he just wasn't ready to be out or anything like that.
Are you going to find
Did he tell you anything about his family ready. Or his home life or his background, anything like that? Did you
he told me that he had children.
Did he say how, like, boys, girls, ages? Mm-hmm.
He told me two girls. One was 2 and one was almost 4.
So he comes over in the pickup, and then what happens? Or how's he dressed? How's he acting?
He's dressed like he's almost in pajamas. He's got sweats on and just a T-shirt.
That's disrespectful.
I don't remember the color of the T-shirt. It's very, very shy. Wouldn't make eye contact with me at first.
But he goes from no eye contact to...
And then he pretty much
check
just...
this out.
Kind of started taking my clothes off.
Whoa, that's a bold
in the
move.
Spare room.
He was kind of the aggressor?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
And it's all right. I mean, it sounds clear to me that maybe there was some sex that night, so we can talk about it.
Yeah.
It's fine.
This guy's dying to hear about it. It has nothing to do with the case. Nothing.
Yeah.
Did he talk about that he'd done that before, like, as far as your chats or anything? Not at that point? Okay. So you guys are in the spare room. He's taking off your clothes. What happens after that?
See, they want to know what... They want to play-by-play.
Just suck my God. He performed oral sex on me.
Ooh, performed.
No eye contact a minute earlier.
Oh, he's focused solely on that dick.
Yes.
And he pretty much panicked and didn't really say much to me and left.
He freaked out.
Yeah, the world came back to him.
Yep.
He just told me that he had daughters and they were pretty much his world.
Oh, fuck him.
First contraction, he was bummed.
He even cracked a joke. I remember this. Like yesterday, he even cracked a joke. He said, if you turn out not to be a psycho, maybe you can meet him. And then he started laughing.
Oh, if you turn out to be a psycho.
Who should that man?
I have no idea. I got the text that his daughters were with him on my way over there, and then I jump in his truck, and Bella's on the left.
You can skip this part.
Side.
There's no more
so
blowjobs.
She's the first one I see, and she's very
wow.
I know. How absolutely
worst goddamn
bizarre.
Story.
You need to learn how to suck some goddamn dick.
But when he's talking to the cops about the female mistress, he's acting like, yeah, I just fell for her so hard. It was just one of those things, a one in a million. And meanwhile, he's blowing
this dude. Guy, yeah. I didn't kill my wife and kids for the gay guy. I did it for the mistress, just so you guys know that.
Drew, you weren't kidding about these lips.
Yeah.
I know.
Oh, you,
he's wearing my glasses.
Penis bumpers.
He's wearing my glasses.
I'm going to give you some money so you have bigger penis bumpers.
Penis bumpers.
Those are huge.
They're gigantic. Nope, we need more.
Wow.
That is so weird.
Yeah.
Trent Bolt.
How do you do that, you dude?
Stupid name.
No hair product.
That's a weird name.
It's a dumb, dumb name.
How do you do that tsunami thing on top of your head? That little, like...
I don't know.
Possibly with semen.
something about Mary.
Yeah, something about Mary.
Pompadour.
Only one way to do that.
Lots and lots of it.
Oh, boy.
Get that from golf course water.
Gross.
Yikes. Wow. Great point.
Wow.
The other thing about this morning is I was watching the Michael Cohen story is, first of all, what will Trump end up saying?
He's already tweeted about it.
But, I mean, what will he end up saying? Not what he's saying now, not what he said 6 months ago. I have a feeling the line's going to be, I didn't want my wife to hear about this. Because I think that's the that's the safe space.
Right.
I mean, does it matter?
No, I don't think it does.
He's just going to keep saying, it was a personal transaction. It's a personal transaction. It's a personal transaction. I never told him to do anything. Which it's hard to prove that wrong.
I'd also like to know, I know, and Michael Cohen's not terribly credible.
Oh, but the National Enquirer.
Oh, yeah, they flipped too. Intriguing. Everyone has flipped. Everyone.
Yeah.
Well, who wants to go to jail for
No, of
for
course.
Him?
No, absolutely.
Which means, doesn't it, that a lot more of that stuff is going to come out, too.
The Enquirer?
Some of the, like, maybe things that they deep-sixed. That, what do they call that when they buy it? And,
oh, yeah.
And
there was a story. Remember that story about the day he rolled the escalator down to announce it? They went to their warehouse and got all their Trump stories and hid them.
Oh, that's right.
Remember that story? Yeah. Uh-huh. Like, they actually had a safe with the stack of Trump stories, and they took them and moved them somewhere. I don't know if they shredded them or got rid of them.
Yep.
I didn't believe the story until I read it. It's like, oh, my God, that actually does sound like it's real.
They moved them to the incinerator building.
Yeah.
I also wonder how many scummy NDAs are out there. I mean, don't you believe there are just thousands of NDAs that would fascinate us?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
And how many crimes are contained in these NDAs? Mm-hmm. I just have to believe anybody with money has learned or been trained that, hey, sexual assault, you can make it go away.
Well, isn't it a very simple solution? Just make it illegal to have a non-disclosure agreement of a crime? You would think it would already be illegal.
I don't understand why it's legal. It doesn't make any sense to me. You don't cut deals with your victim.
I know. It doesn't make any sense.
Because, first of all, it's wrong. Second of all, it's unfair. Because some people committing crimes don't have enough money to create an NDA. So it's...
So when has the law been
it's
fair?
It's unequal. I know. The law... It always amazes me how much effect money has on the law. Because it has... monstrous effect, and it seems like there's more every day. People find more ways to pervert the law and to use it in your own favor if you have a lot of money. And it's nothing new, but it just seems that, you know, when you look at the R. Kellys and people like that, crime after crime for crime, and they don't, you'd think they go, oh man, I don't want to spend a couple hundred grand for a 14-year-old piece of ass again. Sorry to be crude, but instead I think it emboldens people. Like Jackson. Look at Jackson. What did he do the minute it came out that, you know, he'd been doing God knows what with all his 12-year-olds? He takes another 12-year-old out with him. He's like, look, I got away with it.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to stop me from doing this. Mm-hmm. Nobody stops Michael Jackson. I just paid a kid $23 million.
Nobody stops Michael Jackson.
But this one.
I can just see him saying that.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody stops Michael Jackson.
Very strange.
Totally false.
The reach of Les Moonves is another Moonves story. It's not anything he did. It's something he tried to do to somebody very famous.
The Mooner? Well, appearing on SiriusXM's The Michelle Collins Show, Sybil Shepherd claimed her sitcom Sybil was canceled because she turned down his sexual advances during a dinner date while he was married to then-wife Nancy Weisenfeld. My show could have run another 5 years, but I didn't fall on the right side of Les Moonves. I wasn't going to fall at all for Les. Nice going, Sybil.
She's no cost tough her. Chick.
Said the trouble with her critically acclaimed series began after he urged her to go on a date with him. Well, he did. His assistant, my assistant, made a dinner date. We went to it. And he was telling me his wife didn't turn him on. Some mistress didn't turn him on, Sybil said. And I'm watching him drink alcohol, and I'm going, well, you know, why don't you let me take you home, he says. I said, no, I've got a ride. I have my car outside with a good friend of mine who's an off-duty LAPD officer.
Fake. Good line, but fake.
Shortly afterwards, she started receiving critical notes about what her character could and couldn't do, say, and couldn't say.
Oh, yeah.
Or could do and say and couldn't say. Just funny to see somebody who's, quote, pretty, you know, talking with some food in their mouth, not overdoing it. It's just funny. And then I got that note. Don't do that anymore. Don't have Sybil talk while she's eating, she recalled. Then it was, okay, we had done one menopause episode. Then we're going to do a second one. They said, you can't use menstruation or period, and I fought to say period, and that ended up in Newsweek or Time that year. I had to fight to say period.
Gross. Period.
I'm kind of with Les on that one.
Yeah, still get periods?
The fuck? Ugh. Good God. What an animal he is. He is monster. Just the biggest. He's the guy that rapes you and then tells you you can't fucking do anything about it.
Right.
I mean, that's, isn't that worse? Assuming you're alive
you're
afterwards.
You're not ragging it, are you?
Tommy Lee and Brandon have made up.
Yay. Yeah.
Beautiful record.
Oh, just in time for Christmas.
Yeah, Brandon wanted some gifts.
They hugged it out. And, of course, there's a picture of it on Instagram, which is so beautiful that a moment so private and so personal would be shared with all of us.
Yeah, it's very
and
nice.
And not only that, if you notice, I looked at the pictures like, oh, they're hugging, whatever. And then I realized, oh, someone else took the picture.
Right.
And posted it on his Instagram.
Yeah, presumably that girl.
Yeah, that dope.
Oh, go to, there's some great comments on it, too. On
I was reading the comments. The comments are hilarious.
Really funny.
People are so, there's so many sappy people in the world. I can't stand it.
Yeah, they really are. Now they have this outlet to let their sap run free.
Exactly.
So happy you two talked it out and hugged it out. Keep the communication open. This is the way it should be.
I like this one.
Made my day.
I didn't make your day.
Your day is so lame. That made your day.
This is so cute and wonderful.
Remember when he punched you in the face?
Yeah. Or when he punched your mom in the face when she was holding you.
Yeah, that's right.
Remember that?
My son.
Yeah, when he was 6 months old.
I love you, son. That kid's a knockout.
No, I was looking for some shitty comments and I didn't see any. There must be some shitty comments on there.
There are.
It's a good reason why Brandon's face is turned towards the camera and not Tommy Lee's. Tommy doesn't look good anymore.
Well, Tommy's bawling, so.
Yeah, this is all positive stuff. I don't know. Maybe they get rid of the bad ones.
Couldn't they have done this with the Brandon song playing and made it an audio Instagram post?
Yeah, that would have been production value.
You mean tell me there's no crappy comments on there?
I don't see a single one.
I swear what? I saw some earlier.
Mm. I haven't
Unless
seen
they're
one
going
yet.
Through and removing them.
They have a Butters working on there.
Oh, they must. They must.
This is the best post I've seen yet. Yet what? Best post what? Ever?
Yeah.
I'm not crying. You're crying. Who's crying over that? Hug on the left so your hearts connect easier.
What?
You're only supposed to give hugs on the other side so your hearts can touch.
What?
I don't know.
Who thinks of that?
Oh, I love this. Happy holidays, Lee family. Cue the crew song piano intro to Brandon.
Oh, God. Oh, what a sap.
This is the best Christmas gift ever.
What the fuck are you talking about? It's not a gift for you.
It makes my
it's
heart
a gift
happy.
To manipulate you.
I just cried.
Oh, if anyone cried over this, I want to die.
From laughter?
Oh, my God.
You know, all these soft people, shouldn't some of the hardened people, like, us be able to just take them so easily.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Just be like poof cotton balls.
Oh man, is that sappy. We have to do the best of, and Trudy's got a gig, and then we have a gig, and then Trudy's girlfriends are gonna make her party.
Yeah.
So we should wrap it up, I guess.
Yeah. Hit the with outro, that Brandon. With Tommy and Brandon.
That's a beautiful way to wrap.
Somebody got a dick?
lovely. Let's see, we've got the best of tomorrow. Oh, brought to you by Scott Kunith, by the way. I should plug Scott.
Yeah. Somebody got a dick?
We got some nice tips from our audience too, by the way. There are people looking for houses in December.
Really?
In January? Yeah, there are. Not a ton, but he was gonna stay off and we cut a deal so he could stay on through the month of December. So if you are looking for help selling your house or looking for a new one or looking for your first home, dream home, whatever it is, east side, west side, Scott's lived in both areas. He knows it all. Call, text, or email Realtor Scott Kunith of Coldwell Banker Weir Manual to see what your home is worth or to get help in finding your new one. 248-797-7746. That's 248-797-7746. Or S. Kunath at CBWM, and that's S-K-U-N-N-A-T-H at CBWM. And any other weekend notes of import?
Some. It was around town this weekend.
Nothing.
Quiet, I think.
it's Christmas time.
The Lions are out of town, aren't they?
I have no idea. I don't know.
What is Trans-Siberian Orchestra?
Oh, they're at
Buffalo. Yeah, at Buffalo. 1 o'clock game.
Is Trans SIBO around?
Trans SIBO.
Seems like they usually are.
Yeah. Oh, well. We know nothing.
KillerCares.org. If it's still open, who knows? See ya.
And by the way, for all you kids watching at home, Santa just is white.